Welcome back, everybody. Part two of Keyboard of the M. Hope people had a wonderful week. And last week's first show got you to begin thinking about this fascinating topic. Pass around. The title that I gave for the course was Keyboard of the M. The mitzvah and the difficulties of honoring parents, which is was the title, not only because obviously there's an obligation to have like a semi-humorous or interesting title, and you can't just say we're going to be learning the end of the first parak of Kiddushin, but also because it actually really does capture, I think, the, you know, what's so fascinating and so core to all of the discussions and topics, that it's not only a mitzvah of Kibbud Avem, or multiple mitzvahs of Kibbud Avem, but that it's really possibly the most difficult of all mitzvot that there are. However, this week, in coming weeks, we're going to focus on the difficulties of it. We're going to be talking about topics such as if there is an obligation to listen to one's parents and to act according to their will in all circumstances, even circumstances which have got nothing to do with sort of the standard categories of kavod. Can a parent just simply tell a child, I want you to do this, and the child is obligated to do so? We'll be talking next week about the possibly the most delicate of all of the topics we'll look at, about where there is a conflict between honouring one's mother and honouring one's father, right? Where both parents' demands of the child cannot interact well with one another. We'll be talking about if there is ever situations where a child is able to release themselves of the obligation. Are they able to, as we have certain stories in Chazal of children literally running away, or members of Chazal running in order to get away from their parents. But today we're going to focus more on the first part of the sentence, on the mitzvah itself. I mean, there'll be certain points of tension which we will bring up today, but for the most part it's going to focus on the mitzvah itself in its more simpler and in its more positive form. I spoke last week about how this is really a topic which should only be studied, take it as maybe all topics should be studied, but especially this topic, by combining both the halacha and the agadata, both the legal technical legal aspects of it, and also the agadata, the stories, sort of, if you like, broader sort of philosophical ideas that Chazal put in the end of the first parak of Kiddushin. Next week will be almost completely an agadata shiur. The week after that will be almost completely a halacha shiur. But today we're going to combine the two of them. So let's begin. The two pesukim, two verses that we looked at last time, which seem to capture the nature of the describe the mitzvot. We saw last time how Chazal really are able to get a lot of mileage out of reading these pesukim, reading these verses very carefully, and seeing within them very nuanced elements of the mitzvah. Let's do that again. Kabed et avicha ve et imecha, honor your father and your mother, says the Torah in Shemot. Leman ya'arichun yamecha, in order that your days be lengthened, al ha'adama, on this land, asher Hashem Elokecha noten lach, which Hashem, your God, gives to you. We're going to unpack today, or rather the first source is going to unpack this honouring one's parents just without any conditions applied, without saying honor them from what you've got. If you remember the verse, Kaved et Hashem mehoncha, you honor God mehoncha, from what you have, from your property or from your wealth at your disposal, whereas that's not given. And we're also going to look at this idea of long life, of honoring one's parents, giving one a long life. Now, this Gemara is a Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi, and it's in Masechet Peah. Masechet Peah, Perek Aleph Halacha. Aleph, anybody remember what Mishnah is there? This is the Mishnah which is in the Siddur, at least in Ashkenazi Siddurim, every morning. It's the Mishnah which is said, traditionally said, immediately after Birkat HaTorah. Eilu dvarim she'ein lahem shiur. These are the things for which there is no measure, meaning they are so important, there's not a point at which you do them, and then, like, okay, you've done enough, you can stop doing them. What are these things? Or rather, sorry, further description. Ha-peya b'ha-bekurim b'ha-rayon. The mitzvah of peya, b'kurim, rayon. Gumilut chasadim, kindness to others, talmud Torah. Eilu devarim, these things are the following. Sha'adam ochel mi-peirotehem b'olam hazeh. The person eats of their fruit in this world, meaning you see the benefits of them in this world, maybe you get some reward in this world. But hakeren kayemet, but the real prize, the true reward, lo'olam haba, that's for the next world. These are them, kibud av ve'em, gemilut chasadim, v'habat shaladim ben adam l'chaveru, v'talmud Torah k'neged kulam. There's a slightly longer list, an alternative version, but for our purposes, what is so interesting is that the mitzvah of kibud av ve'em is defined, very first Mishnah in Peah, as the sort of mitzvah which you see the benefits of it in this world, but the real true reward is for the world to come. And I want to just read this Gemara with you. I hadn't seen this Gemara before today. But I think it's got some really interesting aspects to it. So as we read it, let's sort of like to have a think about the ideas that it's saying. John, just while I'm reading, can you get me a Tanakh off that thing? I think there's a Tanakh on the bottom shelf of the cart, on the other side, I think. Okay, the Tani Rashbi. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught. Kibud av v'em shehadifu hakadosh baruch hu yoter mikvodo. God is ma'adif, God prefers the honor that children give to parents than the honor that they give even to him. Ne'emar, it said, kabed et avicha v'et imecha, honor your mother and your father. V'ne'emar, and it is also said, this verse we discussed last week, kabed et Hashem mehoncha, honor God mehoncha, from your wealth, from what you have. Right? Notice that. What do you honor God from? From what you have. What do you honor your parents with? Don't know. You just do. So look at this beautiful reading. It's real poetry. Mimashi echanecha, from which that which you have been granted. What do you do? Mafrish leket shichacha. Payah, all of the agricultural laws. Mafrish truma v'maaser, you take the tithes off your fruit. Maaser rishon v'maaser sheni v'maaser ani, all the various tithes. V'chala v'oseh sukkah v'lula v'shofar v'tfilin v'tzitzit u'ma'achilet ha'aniyim, and you give food to the poor v'et ha'arevim and the hungry u'mashket ha'tzmeim, and you give drink to the thirsty. When do you do all of these many, many mitzvot? All of these mitzvot which cost money. If you're lucky enough to be wealthy enough to have the means to do all these mitzvot, then you're obligated to do all of them. But if you haven't got any money, if you're not able to have the money to build a sukkah, to afford a pair of tefillin, to give charity, there's no obligation, not even for a single one of them. Aval, when we come to the mitzvah of honoring your parents, ben sheyesh lachon, ben she'en lachon, whether you have got money or whether you have not got money, kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, honor your mother and your father, v'afilu ata mesavev al ha'petachim, even if it means that you have to go around knocking on doors, asking for money from people to help you out. Okay? Fascinating difference, right? Not necessarily one which we actually pass on by halacha, but certainly a very, very interesting, significant difference.
Well, it also just like, sorry to cut in.
No, please, this is please do on, specifically on this Gemara, please do cut in, especially the next paragraph.
It like makes kibud av ve'em a specifically kind of monetary mitzvah, like that you're supposed to be, you know, like if, like you're supposed to be like feeding them, like getting money to feed them or something. But like when we think of when I think of kibud av ve'em, I'm not thinking of like making sure that they're kind of like taken care of enough.
Right, you think of it sort of like more as a mindset?
Like a, like, standing up for your, you know, like that
respect.
Kind of thing. Like a respect kind of thing.
Might be like to the most, like even if it means you knocking on people's doors, but you shouldn't focus.
No, but it's comparing it to all of these other kind of monetary, like the whole Gemara is about monetary.
Things that cost money.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, let's, I mean, part of why I'm interested in doing these shiurim is really not just for the material itself, but also for how you respond. So, I mean, let's take a quick straw poll. Do people think of kibbud av em? But just not like, don't think hard about this, just what's your instinctive response? Do you think of it more as a mindset type mitzvah, or do you think of it as a mitzvah of doing things which might cost money? In this sense, yeah, John.
I mean, for the most part, I think of it as something that is a mindset. I do think of it as doing things, but for sure not things that would cost money. Doing things just like being careful with my words and choosing my words, you know, wisely,
mm-hmm.
Or helping to do something,
right,
like a specific task or whatever, but not.
Right. Anyone else have thoughts? Or has anyone ever thought of it? I mean, maybe it's hard for us, and I include myself in this. I think I include myself in this. At our age, thinking of it as a monetary mitzvah, whereas, you know, for the most part, I could be wrong, but I assume most people here are not in a situation where they are supporting their parents, rather their parents are supporting them. But of course, at a certain stage in one's life, that may well switch, in which case the monetary aspect of kibbud av em does certainly become a topic. Interesting point that Toby raised there. I think it gets even more interesting now with the following discussion. Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Abba bar Kahana Kativ. So he reads the pasuk in Mishlei as this pasuk. Orach Chaim ben Tfales. She does not chart a path of life. Her meaning, I think, the Torah. Naum agoloteha lo teda. Her course meanders for lack of knowledge. Okay, that's the verse. We don't know which direction we're going to go down. Our course meanders. What does that mean? Says Rabbi Acha. It says drash, obviously. Tiltel Hakadosh Baruch Hu matan scharan shel osei mitzvot. God tiltel. He sort of like holds above us the reward for mitzvot. He doesn't say do this mitzvah. This is the reward you get. Do this mitzvah. That is the reward you get for that one. Right? We don't know the reward for mitzvot as a whole. Okay, positive mitzvot. We're not told what one gets as the reward. And remember, this is a commentary on a Mishnah which says these are mitzvot, which you get a little, but the real reward is for the world to come. We're not told what the reward is, says Rabbi Acha. Why does God do this? Why does he not tell us what the reward is? Kadei shehu osin otan be'emunah. In order that you perform them with faith, out of faith, not for the sake of the reward. Makes a lot of sense, right? There's a solid idea there. Rabbi Acha b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak Kativ. He now reads another verse just in the previous perek. Mikol mishmar notzer libecha. More than all that you guard, guard your mind. Ki mimeni totzat chayim, for it is the source of life. That's the verse itself. Rabbi Acha reads it. Mikol mash ne'emar lecha b'torah hishmer. Everything in the Torah, be very careful about doing it. You don't know which particular element of the Torah is going to be the one which is really going to give you life, right? It could be that there's one specific thing which you're not told, that's going to really be the one that saves you. So make sure to do all of them. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. Hishva hakatuv mitzvah kala shebekalot le mitzvah chamura shebechamurot. In this attempt to not tell us the reward for mitzvot, or rather to put all mitzvot on an equal playing field for good reason, the Torah, says Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana, wants to compare the simplest mitzvah, the easiest mitzvah, or maybe the least significant of mitzvot, to the most important of mitzvot. What are they? Mitzvah kala shebekalot, ze shiluach haken. The simplest mitzvah, or could mean the easiest mitzvah to do, shiluach haken, shooing away the mother bird. About it, ketiv bo l'man yitavlach, in order that it be good for you, you should do this mitzvah, l'man ya'arichun yamecha, in order that your days be lengthened. Right, famously, shiluach haken, one of the mitzvot for which we are given long life. Davar sheyesh bo chisur. Did I skip out a line? Ze shiluach haken. Pardon me, I did. Third from the bottom. Umitzvah chamura shebechamurot. And the most significant, the strictest, the most important of mitzvot. Ze kibud av ve'em. Honoring one's parents. Ubeshtehen ketiv. About both of them it's written. V'harachta yamim. And your days will be lengthened. Okay, so now, so I mean, this is where I'm asking you to help me read it. What's been said until now? What's the drush that's taking place? Why does it appear by both of them to show you?
So you can't see this mitzvah, like, show you that mitzvahs that are easy and mitzvahs that are difficult might have the same reward. To show you that mitzvahs are all equal and the reward you get.
Right, and anyone else want to add something to that? I think you're right there to translate kalot and chamorot as easy and difficult, because the point is to say that even if one's really easy and one's really difficult, you're said about both of them, the same reward is given. Right, or the same reward is said in order to, you know, not distinguish between any of the mitzvot with regards to reward. Right? What's interesting about this reading is that normally, at least the way in which I've always thought of it, is people say, what is it that Kibud Av Ve'em and Shiluach HaKen have got in common with one another, that they are both about that, about both it's said, V'ha'arachti Yamim, you've got long life. But this is saying, no, they haven't really got anything in common with one another. The point is they're sort of like opposite enders of the spectrum of mitzvot, in order to show you that all mitzvot, either you don't know, or all mitzvot have got great reward, so we give this great reward of V'ha'arachti Yamim to both of them. What's the Shiluach HaKen, the mitzvah we're told that if you want to take the eggs or the young chicks of a bird, you have to shoot away the mother bird, and the mother bird shouldn't be there when you take the egg, seemingly out of concern for the mother, which it's worth saying, just as a footnote, this is also about showing concern for a mother, right? Not your mother, but a mother. So I always thought of that as an interesting connection. This is part one, okay? Now I think it moves in a different direction, where we carry on playing with sort of Shiluach HaKen and Kibud Av Ve'em. Until now we seem to have said that even though one is really easy and one is really difficult, we put them on the same playing field. Amar Rabbi Abon, and here is the whole reason why I'm bringing this Gemara, Uma'im Davar, a case or a mitzvah, Shehu Priyat Chov. What's Priyat Chov mean? Poreachov, a repayment of a debt. Right, he lends you money, then you have to be poreachov, you pay the money back. A mitzvah which is priat chov. Ketiv bo, it said, l'man yitav lacha or l'man yarichun yamecha, your days be lengthened, for days be good for doing this mitzvah. Kibud av ve'em, in other words, is priat chov. Right, behind the whole infrastructure of Kibud Av Ve'em, what is the gorem, what is the trigger for our obligation in Kibud Av Ve'em? Priyat Chov, paying back a debt. A debt to our parents, what our parents have given us. All of the thousands of hours, costs, thoughts, concerns that they have put into our upbringing, that is where Kibud Av Ve'em comes from, that's what it's triggered by, our obligation, our indebtedness to them. Okay? That's the whole reason for bringing this Gemara, just to sort of see this as the idea behind Kibud Av Ve'em. But let's carry on with the Midrash before we think about that idea. If a mitzvah which is priat chov has got the reward of long life, davar sheyesh bo chisrun kis v'sikun nefashot, a mitzvah which is going to cost you money and might even risk your life, Lo kol shekein, shouldn't it have long life, good life as its reward, all the more so? So what's just been said there? Firstly, what is it speaking about? Something which has got chisron kis and sikun nefashot, which costs you money and you might risk your life for. What is that talking about?
Going after money.
I think it's talking about shiluach.
I thought it was
So I'm torn between the two of them.
Yeah.
Right?
I was like, I'm both. Because what are you losing when you shoot away a mother bird?
What are you risking? You're risking your life.
Well, you might be risking your life.
Well,
there's a famous Gemara in Kiddushin about. Near our Sugyot about a child who's told to go up the tree by his father to shoo away the mother bird and falls out of the tree and dies. Yeah. So, I mean, it could be that. But I also hear the idea that it's referring to. To just mitzvot in general, perhaps
because
all the mitzvot that we're given.
It goes with the theme, of least to most, and everything in the middle. It goes with the theme of like it's incorporating all the mitzvot in it.
So you're saying, right, okay.
So it's just saying even more than that,
mm-hmm.
for a mitzvah that you might not be...
Oh, okay, very good, very good.
Like part of the whole like umbrella.
Okay, so the first, so you're saying the Gemara first sets up the relationship between a really simple mitzvah, Shiluach HaKen, and a really difficult mitzvah, Kibud Av V'Em, and says, look, both of them, put Jamin, spectrum. Then it gives another example of a spectrum. Spectrum, Kibud Av V'Em, which is Priyat Chov, paying back one's parents for everything they've given you. And for that, you get Harachat Yamim, you get... Even more so all the other mitzvot where you're not paying back a debt, where you're giving out of your own money and possibly risking your life for it. So I think that's probably correct. But what's then happened? Do you see what's happened in terms of the spectrum?
We have two spectrums.
Two spectrums, but the shift. What's the shift?
It makes it seem like at first QMA is like the greatest level and then it becomes like a lower level.
Exactly, right? Kibud Av V'Em moves from being the hardest of all mitzvot, Chamura Sheba Chamurot, to being... Sort of like, well, like you're just paying back your debt. If I you know, lend you $20 and you pay me back $20, do I say, wow, you're amazing, you paid me back $20, kol hakavod? No, I gave you $20.
The implications of paying the debt is like your life. So everything, like anything, you need to pay, so like it's impossible to pay this debt.
Mm.
So in some way, it's much more because you won't pay it.
Also, it's not just like $20, which is a quantifiable, countable thing. What your parents have given you is like infinite.
You're quite right.
I'm
but
with Nina's point that like it's not just a simple debt.
It's not a simple debt, but do you not agree with Donnie's point that just in terms of what the spectrum is, I mean, clearly it's a kal v'chomer, right? If you get long life for a mitzvah, which is just paying back a debt, kal v'chomer, you get long life for a mitzvah where you're putting out yourself. I mean, does anyone disagree that that's what the Gemara is saying? Right, so it's fascinating that that Kibud Av V'Em or Priyat Chov is viewed as that. But now look what happens. Amar Rabbi Levi, v'hu d'rabba mine. No, the opposite. Right? You can't view Priyat Chov in that way. Maybe Rabbi Levi is really, you know, in line with you, Eliezer and Nina. Gadol hu davar shehu Priyat Chov. Something which is based on repaying of a debt. That is greater midavar she'ein or priyat chov, and something which isn't the repayment of a debt, even if it involves chisr and kis and sikun nafashot, even if it involves expense and risking your life. Everyone sees how rich, like we
so
far too easily gloss over.
Right. I mean, at least.
Well, come on. Let's the way in which to approach these things is to sort of like throw out all of your thoughts on it, and then to try and like make some seder over it. Okay. So what's just happened? Somebody want to guide us through it? First one is spectrum. Sorry?
Comparison.
We've got two comparisons, right? We've got easy and difficult. Shiluach HaKen, Kibud Av V'Em. Both of which we're told Arichut Jamim, long life, therefore that applies to all mitzvot. Then we've got a second stage, which is to distinguish between mitzvot, which are a repayment of a debt, Kibud Av V'Em, and other mitzvot where you give of yourself where you're not repaying a debt, rather you're incurring expense. And we've got two readings of it. In the first one, the kol shekein, or the kal v'chomer, the how much more so, works in the direction of where you get reward for something where you're just repaying a debt, how much more so you'll get reward for something where you're incurring expense.
Sounds like that you don't have to incur expense for giving of it
in. Well, even if you, I think that's a good question in and of itself. But I think within the terms of this Gemara, the response is you're not really incurring a debt, right? I mean, sorry to be extremely prosaic. You know how much we spend on diapers every month. I mean, like, you know, eventually Mika will be paying that back to us, but you know, it's not out of her own pocket. This is just, you know, all the money that we're investing now that we're going to get back at one stage later in the eyes of this Gemara. Whether or not what's called Michel Av or Michel Ben, the costs incurred looking after parents should come from the parents or from the child is a machloket in the Gemara. The way in which we decide the halacha is Michel Av, but it comes from the parents. But then the Gemara flips it and says, no, a mitzvah which is based on priyat chov, on paying back a debt, is greater than any other mitzvah which is not. So obviously, answer is both are true. Right, and I think that's a really interesting way to start thinking about it. But on the one hand, Kibbutz Em is simply giving back to the people who gave you more than anybody else. And it should be looked at as that. But on the other hand, exactly like Nina and Aliza said, you can't just look at that as, well, it cost, you know, it's just paying back $20. You know, it's the biggest thing there is. Sometimes it's not such a simple thing to repay a debt, right? Certainly in this situation. All right, any more thoughts on this, Gemara, before we move on? It's definitely one to remember as sort of one of the main themes of Kibbutz Av Ve'em, Priyat Chov, and what Priyat Chov means. Okay, we're going to come back to that later, in a halachic sense, this idea of what is the obligation to one's parents and what is it that you are paying back, and that's going to be at the source. It's one of the most important sources about understanding the nature of the obligation is going to be exactly that. But in the meantime, let's carry on from exactly where we left off in the Gemara and Kiddushin last time. We were speaking about Shlosha Shutfin Hen Ba'adam. There are, in fact, no, before we go there, we'll come to that in a minute. Let's look back at the Pesukim, back at the verses, source 1 and 2. So what have we looked at so far? Today we've discussed this idea of Ya'arichun Yamecha, of your days being lengthened. If you want just to sort of give a real chol-based reading of this, but I think a very beautiful one. I heard a very wonderful neuroscientist from Chicago a few years ago, a woman who, Fishbane is her surname, I can't remember her first name, whose husband is a famous Tanakh scholar, and she gave the most amazing talk at a conference I was at about the sort of the psychodynamics of parent-child relations, and she read this pasuk just kipshuto, just in the simplest sense, that having a good relationship with one's parents gives you a good life. Right? You will be a much happier person, and presumably you will have, you know, much, much better quality of life and possibly even length of life if you've got good relations with your parents, right? Which I thought was such like a simple and such a brilliant reading of the verse. And no, she had all these data and studies to back it up. Anyway, compare these two verses, okay? Source number one, Kabeta Tavicha Ve'etimecha. And source number two, Ish Imo Va'aviv Tira'u, okay? What are some of the differences you notice between the two verses? Tirau is to fear, right? First one is honor your father and your mother. The second one is that a person should fear, or maybe fear is a bad translation, reverence for their mother and their father. Yeah, John.
I mean, the order of Avicha Ve'etmecha versus Imo Ve'aviv.
Very good. Opposite. Very good. Right. The first distinction is that one is talking about kavod, honouring one's parents, the other one is talking about yira. But then John is spot on, that when it comes to honouring one's parents, the verse says, avicha ve'imecha, father and mother, in that order. When it comes to having reverence for one's parents, it's mother and then father. Okay?
The second pasuk, it seems like it's almost more of a command, like...
Right.
The way it's written, like the first one almost seems like
good advice.
A condition, like if you want to live a long life, mm-hmm. honor your parents. The second one is more.
Ish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tirau. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Yeah. So I want to focus on the distinction that John drew out. Who do we put first? Do we put father and mother first? That's what the pasuk in Shemot says. Or do we put mother and father first? That's what the pasuk in Vayikra says, right? Remember last week the Gemara got a huge amount out of, you know, real close reading of this verse. Let's start with the Torah. Torah in source number 5. Ubekibud, when it comes to honoring one's parents, hikdim av la'em, the Torah puts the father before the mother. Dichtiv kabedet avicha ve'etimecha. Ubemorah, but when it comes to reverence, hikdim em la'av, puts the mother before the father. Dichtiv ish imo va'aviv tira'u. Why? What's the point that comes out of this? Lelamed, to teach you sheshnehem shavim, ben lekibud ben lemorah. Right, that one's father and one's mother have an absolutely equal claim, both when it comes to kibud, both when it comes to morah, that there is no idea of honoring one of them or having reverence for one of them more than the other. Okay? interesting, right? It's nice. I agree. You should have equal reverence and honor for both your parents. And the Rambam also has that reading. But interestingly, the Gemara has got a different reading. And I think the Gemara's reading is not say better, but it's more interesting. Let's read it. Tanu Rabbanan, this is where we left off last week. Shlosha shutfin hen ba'adam, source number four. There are three partners in a person, three sort of, if you like, stakeholders, three creators. HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'aviv v'imo, God on the one hand and father and mother on the other. And we carry on speaking about how, you know, when parents are honored, then God feels honored. Where parents are scorned, then God feels scorned, etc., etc. Tanya, this is halfway through the second line. And see what you think of this just as sort of an insight into human psychology. Perhaps it was truer in a previous age, but maybe it's also true today. Rebbe Omer, Galui v'yadua lifnei mi sh'amar v'haya olam. It was known, it was clear to he who spoke and created the world, known to God, Sheben mechabed etimo yoter me'aviv, that a child, I don't think that means particularly son, a child honors their mother more than their father. Mipnei shemishtatlo bedvarim, I think that means because of her love for him, her softness for him. Lefikach, therefore, hikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu kibud av lekibud em. God put honoring one's father before honoring one's mother because a child's more natural inclination is to honor their mother more than their father. V'legalui v'yadua lifnei mish'amar v'haya olam, and it was just as much known to God, shehaben mityera me'aviv yoter me'imo, that a child is more fearful, has more reverence, however you want to translate it, for their father more than for their mother. Interesting, mipnei shemalamdo Torah, because a father teaches their child Torah, and Torah is what, it's fascinating insight that that's how Chazal see Yira working. But even leaving that aside, that a child has greater fear for their father. Lufikach, therefore, hikdim HaKadosh Baruch Hu mora ha'em lo mora ha'av. Wanting to counterbalance that, the Torah puts Yira of one's mother prior to the Yira of one's father, right? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, quoting both the Gemara and the Torah and the Rambam, says, obviously, ein nafkamina ledina, there's no actual practical difference between the Gemara's reading of the verses and the Rambam and the Torah's reading of the verses, but still, it's a very interesting and, I think, subtle reading, right? That, for many of us, I'm sure we don't fear our father because our father taught us Torah, but I think we understand that, you know, in many, many families, children have got different sorts of relations to different parents, or they're more used to relating to one of the parents in one way and one of the parents in another way. I do know, actually, families where it's exactly the opposite of the way in which the Gemara sees it, and the mother is the... this book that, yeah, do you remember this book that came out a few years ago? I don't think I assume it was big here, Tiger Mother. Yeah, the sort of like, you know, Asian American woman sort of laughing at all of these soft Westerners who, you know, think that it's all about giving love to children. What children really want is sort of like hard discipline and direction and being up at 4:30 in the morning to practice piano to get to the level of like world class concert pianist and et cetera, like, you know, there are families where like the mother has that. But I think it's a very, very interesting reading of the Gemara. Whatever the difference is, there is very frequently a difference. What the Torah is telling you by switching the order, what John noticed, is to say, actually relate in equal measure and in equal dimensions, both of the Yira, both of the Kavod aspects, to both parents. Yofi. Okay, Adkan, the Agadata element of the day. And let's go to some of the halachic stuff, which is going to be very, very interesting. Let's take a break from me speaking and let's have a quick chavruta. Turn to the person next to you and spend a couple of minutes unpacking this Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch, author unknown, but 13th century Barcelona. Wonderful, very important work on all the mitzvot of the Torah, and really uniquely for his age. I mean, it almost reads as a very modern work very frequently gives so what he calls them shoshei hamitzvah, the roots of the mitzvah. It gives really sort of the, like the psychological underpinnings of the mitzvah. So spend a couple of minutes reading it, source number 6, and sort of try and ask yourself, what is it that he is locating, and this is going to be a very important source which is quoted many times after, what is it that he is locating as the source of the obligation to honor one's parents? Okay, so have a go at that.
Alright.
Okay. Well done, everybody. Kol hakavod. What are the two reasons? I mean, obviously, the Mincha Chinuch didn't write this with numbers and bullet points. These are my addition. What are the two reasons that the Sefer HaChinuch gives as to why a child is obligated to honor their parents?
They brought the child into the world.
You would not exist without your parents. Right? You, all of us, each one of us, would not be here were it not for the fact that our parents have brought us into the world. Okay.
And
number one.
And we understood it as what they've done, as a child, or what they've done past, being born.
Right, the amount of work that they have put into your upbringing, into your journey in this world. And, this is a humorous point, but it's also a very serious point. None of you realize this until you have children. Right? And you only realize it within the first week of having a child, right? You're like, oh my gosh, do my parents actually do this for me? Really? I never realized it, right? And you think you understand it now, and you do not understand it until you are up at 3 in the morning, and then again at 5 in the morning, then again at 7 in the morning, and et cetera, working in 2-hour cycles, right? But two different reasons, two distinct reasons. Firstly, that your parents are the reason for the fact that you exist, number one. Number two, the amount of work, time, effort, love that they have put into bringing you into this world. And this Sefer HaChinuch is quoted by many, many later writers, with each of these reasons being significant in their own right, and they're actually being halachic nafkaminot, practical halachic legal differences, depending on which one of the reasons that one focuses on. And it is everybody's understanding that it's not these two reasons working in combination with each other, but rather each one of the reasons is sufficient in and of itself for a person to be obligated in kibud av em. So look at this wonderful piece from Rabbi Chaim Falaji. People heard of Rabbi Chaim Falaji? If you were Sephardim, you definitely would have heard of him. One of the real great Sephardi rabbis. I believe that the Falajis, Falajis, but I believe they are from Turkey. It's a lovely name of a book, Tochachot Chaim. Right, rebuke for life. Right, a book to give you rebuke from. Right, based on the parashiyot. Right, each parasha I get new tochacha for my life. That's a lovely Sephardi way of looking at the world. Shamati mikama anashim reikim b'pochazim. I've heard from certain empty and pochazim like low lives, shesovrim she'en aleihem chovat kibud av v'em, who think they're not obligated to honor their parents. Why? Their parents aren't nice to them, right? Or their parents fight with them, or their parents argue with them. Their parents are overly demanding, right? And they say, the Torah didn't tell me to be nice to these sorts of parents. The Torah told me to be nice to parents that are actually nice to me. Adaraba ani mashiv lahem. I tell them the very, very opposite. Ikar tzivui al otam horim. Right, the real core commandment is exactly for these sorts of parents, right? Says Rabbi Chaim Falaji. Right, thinking that you're only obligating kibud av v'em if your parents are lovely, kind, don't give you any problems. No, right. Even if they're really difficult, even if you have a very complicated relationship with your parents, nevertheless, all the more so, there is the obligation, no matter how difficult, of kibud av v'em in such a circumstance. In other words, what's the halachic work being done? Says the people who are speaking to Rabbi Chaim Falaji, the second reason of the Sefer HaChinuch doesn't apply to me. Right, my parents haven't put work into me. My parents have just made my life really difficult. Parents might disagree, but from my perspective, they haven't put their work into me. They've just spent their life really making my life difficult. Nevertheless, would say Rabbi Chaim Falaji, your parents are still the reason that you are here in this world, regardless of what's happened, since therefore the obligation to honour them is still there. An even more extreme example is given by Rav Yitzchak Yosef, son of Rav Avadya Yosef, in his huge compendium work, Yalkut Yosef. Not only a person whose parents, in that person's view, haven't treated them as well as they should, but a person who's never even met their parents, a person who was given up for adoption at a young age. Does such a child have the obligation to honour their biological parents? What would you say? Yeah. Absolutely. Af misha horav masruhu leimut bekatnuto, says Rav Yosef. Source number 8. This is a summary. Even a person who was given up for adoption at a young age, v'lo tarchu begidulo klal, and whose parents didn't bring their child up whatsoever, afilu hachi haben chayav lichvadam kara'ui. Well, I guess to make contact but with them, or if you know, as could certainly happen, a person in their late teens, early 20s, you know, either only told at that stage that they were actually their biological parents are different from the parents who brought them up and their parents are back in touch, could easily happen. Does such a person who was not raised by those parents have an obligation to honour their parents? Answer, yeah, absolutely. Why? Says Rav Yosef in the footnotes, which I didn't put on this, because of the first reason of the chinuch, right? Regardless of the fact that they were not involved in the child's upbringing whatsoever, nevertheless, ha'av v'ha'em hem sibat heyoto bo'olam. They are the reason for the child's existence in the world, even if they have not been involved in the child's upbringing whatsoever.
I, of course, understand why you would argue that they were the reason for the child's existence in the world, because they are.
Yeah.
But perhaps, had they not been put up for adoption, they would no longer be in the world, in certain extreme cases. And so, what if someone either knows that about their biological parents and mm-hmm. understands that that was the reason they were adopted, or doesn't know, but knows that they don't know, as in, knows that they don't know their biological parents
right.
for
mm-hmm.
a difficult reason,
mm-hmm.
and you were saying one way of honoring them would be then to go and find your biological parents to make that contact. What if that would bring so much more pain to the person?
I didn't mean to be understood to say that what you learned from the source is that a child is obligated to go and find their parents because of the mitzvah of kibbutz av v'em if their parents have never made contact. I don't think that's necessarily what's to be deduced from that. Right, that's a separate question. I think that's not a question which you can give a simple answer to, which is a blanket answer to all statements. The basic point, though, is that if parents and children come into contact with one another after never having had any interaction with one another, the obligations are still there of kibbutz av v'em. Even if they would not have been good parents, they would not have been able to keep their child with them, even if they would have been a risk to their life, as you said, nevertheless, the first reason of the chinuch still stands. They are the reason for this child's existence in the world. And there is still, to go back to the Gemara, the Yerushalmi, with which we started, there is still an element of priat chov, of an obligation, of a debt that is to be paid. Not to get too heavy, it also works in the other direction. It also works in the other direction in a very nice way. Here is a beautiful Gemara in Megillah, quotes a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim that seems to be speaking about Batya, the daughter of Paro, v'ishto ha-Yehudiya yalda et yered aviv v'yisocho v'yikutiel aviv zanoach, v'eile b'nei Batya, these are the children of Batya, bat Paro, asher lakach meret, who married. Amai karela Yehudiya, al shum shekafra avodah zara, why is she called Yehudiya? Seemingly, why is she called a Jewess? Because she denied the avodah zara, which she grew up with. Dichtiv v'tered bat Paro le'uchot zariyo. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan she'yarno. Yalda, she really gave birth to these children, meaning to Moshe, right? The Yered is understood to be Moshe, right? Ishto ha-Yehudiya yalda et Yered. It's a very difficult verse, but just accept the reading of the verse. If Yehudiya is Batya and Yered is Moshe. Really? Yalda et Yered? Did she really give birth to Moshe? V'haribu ravite. She brought him up, but she wasn't. He's not her biological son. Lomar lecha, to tell you, shekol hamagdil yatom veyatoma, anybody who raises an orphan betoch beitor within their house, ma'aleh hakatuv, the Torah views them ke'ilu yaldo, as if they have actually given birth to them. Right? Moshe is considered the son of Bat Paro, of Batya, even though he's not actually her biological son, simply by the very fact that she raised him. In fact, if you can even see this in the Pshat, Moshe could be called 100 things, right? The Midrash gives 10 different names for Moshe, but who gave him the name Moshe? Batya, exactly, right? She is the one who has given him that name. Let's just finish with a fun... Is the one source sheet left? Let's finish with a one fun actual real halachic source rather than just this agadic source. Sorry, everyone sees why I brought source number 9, right? Even if a person has not brought a child into the world, i.e. the first reason of the chinuch, they haven't, they are not the reason for the child's existence in the world, right? Even if Batya hadn't raised Moshe, nevertheless, Moshe still would have been in the world. Nevertheless, the fact that Yagiu bo kama yagiot bekatanuto, source number 2, they put so much work into this child as upon their arrival in the world, that itself is a reason for kibud av va'em. Finish with a fascinating source. Rav Shlomo Kluger. People heard of Rav Shlomo Kluger? One of Gedolei Galicia about 200 years ago. Really talking about a different halachic topic, but with very clear connections. And that is Evan Ha'ezer Siman Aleph, the topic of Piria Virivia, Peru Oruvum, people being obligated to bring children into the world. Rav Shlomo Kluger has the question of whether or not adopting children can be considered to be a fulfillment of Peru or Revu. Let's read it and let's finish with this. V'hineni stapakti. I questioned, I wondered to myself. V'misha gidel yatom v'yatoma, somebody who brings up an orphan, adopts children, petoch beitor, within their house. Im nechshav ze kiyum piria v'rivya. Is this considered fulfilling the mitzvah of having children? Why would I think that it is? Kevan de amar chazal, because the sages told us, the Gemara that we've just read, hamagadel yatom v'yatoma, somebody who brings up an orphan, male or female, batoch beito ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilu yaldo, the Torah looks at that person as if they have given birth to that child. Im ken, yesh lomar, if so, can we say, tahavinami ki'ilu ki'em piria v'rivya, right? A person who's a couple who've adopted 2 children, adopted a boy and a girl, but they haven't actually had any children themselves. Have they fulfilled the mitzvah of peru-ruvu? What would you say, just as a guess? Yeah. They have. Right? Mm-hmm. Anyone say otherwise?
According to the first definition, they didn't. According to the second, they did. And the Sefer
Achinuch. So remember, the Sefer Achinuch is talking about kibud av ve'em, right? Which is a separate mitzvah from peru-ruvu. But obviously, there's going to be a connection between them. Let's see what he says. Or al kol panim eno dome levlad mamesh, or is the answer that in fact it's not really like bringing a child into the world, but lo kayam bezeh peruvu. V'lechor anireh, very fascinating suggestion. It seems that zeh talui b'plugte, quotes a machloket between the Drisha and the Taz, 2 earlier achronim, yoradeh siman reish men bet, only 2 simanim away from kibud av ve'em, it's the siman of kibud rav, of the honor one gives to one's teachers. But it's about really not connected to that. Dadat hadrisha b'kol makom d'ne'emar ki'ilu. Any place where the Torah says doing something is as if you have done something else, right? Ein hamukash shaveh al hamakish. It's not actually like it. It's sort of like it, but not actually like it, right? So I think the siman that they're talking about, what did you say, Yonia?
That's so horrible. Like, that's not fair that the kid has an obligation to honor the parents, but the parents don't fulfill the mitzvah of having the kid.
So the Drisha is not talking about this precise example. I think what they're talking about is if I from Siman Reish Mem Bet, Misha Mechabed et Rabbo Keilu Kibed et Ashrina, somebody who honors their teacher as if they've honored the divine presence.
Or like whoever teaches Torah.
Yeah, Misha Mechalel et Rabbo, somebody who curses their teacher as if they've cursed the Shrina. So, says the Drisha, it's not actually like honouring God, and not actually like cursing God if you honour your teacher or curse your teacher. Avahataz cholek, but the Taz, the Turei Zahav disagrees. The Hushaveh mamash, it's really precisely equivalent. Right, whenever the Torah says ke'ilu, it really means ke'ilu, as if precisely. And says Rav Shlomo Kluger, presumably that's the machloket here about that would apply to our Gemara, which we've just read, source number 9. Kol hamagadel yatom v'yatoma, anyone who raises an orphan in their house, ma'aleh ala katuv ke'ilu yaldot, so it's really as if they have given birth. The Taz, the Drisha would say, not really as if. The Taz would say, yeah, really as if. So says Rav Shlomo Kluger, according to the Taz, somebody who simply adopts children has fulfilled the mitzvah of Peru Urevu, which even though Yonina said yes, obviously, it's a tremendous chiddush to say that. I think it's really a remarkable chiddush to say. It's not, you don't have to have biological children in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Peru Urevu. He thinks, according to the Drisha, it's not, but he even finds a way to say, I mean, this is quite difficult stuff, but if you see halfway through the second to last line from the bottom, the second to last full line. He says that according to the Drisha it wouldn't. Let's go from the beginning of that line. Mihu afla hadrisha, even according to the Drisha, mikol makom, nevertheless, habirak im loholid klal. The idea of not fulfilling the mitzvah of Peru Revu if you adopt children is only if you've never actually given birth at all, biologically. Aval im holid v'metu. But if a person has given birth and then the child has died, which the halacha is you then haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Peru Revu, which is, again, we can talk about. You have not, right? I mean, it's a very difficult halacha, but seemingly the mitzvah of Peru Revu is dependent upon children actually existing in the world and not having been come into existence and then passed away. Nevertheless, im holid v'metu v'gidel yatom v'yatoma, and then raises orphans in their home, v'day kayam piriyah v'rivya. Then definitely, even according to the Drisha, Peru Revu has been fulfilled. Either way you look at it, the mitzvah has been fulfilled. Okay, this is not really our topic, but you get to see the significance that even if, I mean really all the more so, in the question of Piriya Verivya, according to Rav Shlomo Kluger, one has fulfilled the mitzvah of Peru Revu, how much more so a child, when it comes to the question of kibud av ve'em, is obligated to love, honor, respect their parents, even if they are not their biological parents, but rather are only their adoptive parents. So two separate reasons, and we'll just finish with that final paragraph of the chinuch, source number 6, ukshikva zot tamida b'nafsho, when a person gets to internalizes this within their heart, these two reasons as to why they're on their parents. Then a person will truly be able to recognize all that God has done for them, and God also having brought them into the world, and God's concern for us in our lives as well. Shakach, everybody. Next week we will talk about tensions in each direction, both mother and father demanding things of the child which are impossible for the child to fulfill both of them at the same time. Have a great weekend. Well, sorry.